Welcome to the Think Podcast with Joel Sedekase. I'm Joel Sedekase, and this is the show where we tackle impossible questions from a biblical perspective to help you explain, share, and defend your faith, defend the Christian message. Now, at my last fireside chat, I talked about how I had visited a Muslim school to teach about the biblical worldview. And I mentioned that I did it in 2018, as well as this year, in 2019. As I record this, it's December, mid-December 2019. And what I wanted to do now is I wanted to share with you what I talked about this year when I went. And I took a little bit of a different approach. Rather than tracing the whole story of the Bible and showing how it all points to Jesus, I did talk about some of the basic beliefs and practices of Christianity. And I'm sure I'll get into those as well on the podcast. But what I really did was I focused on the life and mission of Jesus first. And then I used a story that Jesus told to convey how the life and mission of Jesus points to the heart of God and points to God's response to our sin and how we can come to know God in a very meaningful way. So what I want to do now, since we're sitting here, if you're watching the video, we're sitting here in front of the beautiful fire. I thought we'd have a little fireside chat. I thought we'd have a little story hour, a little story time. And what I want to do is I want to open up the Bible to Luke chapter 15, and I want to tell you the story of the lost son. Really, we should call it the parable of the lost sons. I'll tell you why in just a few moments. You may know the story as the story of the prodigal son. But what I want to do is I want to share this story and then talk about how the gospel is revealed in this story in a way that would make sense to our Muslim neighbors. So we're going to call this one something like how the prodigal son is the perfect story for sharing the gospel with Muslims. Okay. As a quick preface, here's why I chose this story. I was talking with my friend who is getting ready to go overseas into as a missionary into a Muslim context. And as I was preparing for my lesson, he recommended that I share this story. And as I began to study it, I realized it deals with the concepts of shame and honor, but it also deals, which are very appropriate when you're speaking with Muslims, but it also deals with the concept of God as a loving father. And for a lot of our Muslim friends, the idea of God as a father is seen as, let's see, the biblical word is anathema. I'm trying to think of the good Muslim word, but it's seen as an idea that is absolutely inappropriate. And so this is what I want to convey is God as a loving father, as revealed in this story that Jesus teaches, the story of the lost sons, the story of the prodigal son. All right, so this is from Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11, and we're going to go straight through to verse 32. And I'm reading from the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. He also said, that is, Jesus also said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country, where he squandered his estate in foolish living. Now pay attention to what happens next. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, so they had no food, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. Now, in a Jewish context where Jesus is in Judea, the idea of being around pigs was very bad. Pigs were not kosher. They were forbidden. And to our Muslim friends, pigs today, you don't eat them. They are not halal, which is like the Muslim equivalent of kosher. So here's this Jewish man, and he's feeding pigs. This is a bad situation for him. He longed to eat his fill from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. So think about where this man has gone. He started out in the household with his father, who is very wealthy, his father, who is very benevolent, and he basically spat in his father's face, metaphorically speaking, bringing great shame on his father by asking for his inheritance before his father dies. It's as if he's saying, Father, I wish you were dead. You are as good as dead to me. Give me my inheritance. I want to go pursue pleasure. Your love, your compassion, your fatherhood to me is worth nothing. I'd rather do my own will. I'd rather go out on my own. Give me my inheritance. And he does. And as long as he has the money, he has plenty of friends. As long as he has the money, he has plenty of food to eat, plenty of alcohol to drink. He's got whatever he wants. He can live as carefree and as freely and as libertinely as he wants. D.L. Moody, in his book, The Way Home, which I'm currently reading, which is really a collection of sermons that D.L. Moody gave. But if you don't know who D.L. Moody is, one of the greatest Christian speakers and evangelists of the 1800s. But he talks about this. He says, you know, he had plenty of beer, plenty of cigars, just had whatever he wanted. And I guess he says alcohol and cigars. And he could do whatever he wanted. But now here he is among the pigs. And he starts to realize how foolish he has been. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food? And here I am dying of hunger. I'll get up, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. Look at the change of attitude here. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. So he got up and went to his father. But while his son was still a long way off, his father saw him. Now, think about what's going to be going through his father's mind at this point. Think about the kind of emotion, the kind of reaction that a father of his stature is going to have. Some of you are thinking of your own fathers, your own dads, and you know exactly the kind of reaction that Jesus is conveying or expecting his audience to expect. All right? Jesus is speaking in a context in which shame was serious, in which honor and a man's reputation was just about all important. Not only that, but wealth was a sign of God's blessing. And here this son, not only has he turned his back on his father, but he's taken away a large portion of his father's wealth. So he's dishonored him before God. He's dishonored him before man. And now the father sees his son a long way off. But listen to what Jesus says. This is going to completely surprise those who have never heard the story before. While he was still a long way off, the father was filled with compassion. He was filled with compassion, not with anger, not with rage, not with dishonor, but compassion. And look what he does. He ran, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. Verse 21 says, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father doesn't even let him finish. The father told his servants, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it. And let's celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. We'll take a closer look at this now. The father is filled with compassion, and he clothes his son, who is now clothed in rags. His sinful living had led to rags, not the royal finery that he used to have, but not the fine linens and fine clothing that he used to have. But the father now sees him clothed in rags and says, clothe my son in my possessions, in my clothing. My son doesn't have any fine clothing of himself. He lost those. But you clothe him in my riches. Give him my ring. You know, the ring, the signet ring, is a sign of power. The ring is a sign of commitment. It's a sign of wealth. Clothe my son in my ring and put my sandals on his feet. You know, the son's feet would have been dirty. They would have been filthy. In those days, people walked around on dusty roads and their feet would have been calloused. And this is why it's so incredible. At one point, Jesus washes his disciples' feet, which was something that a servant of servants would do because the feet were disgusting. But here the Father is restoring dignity from basically from head to toe, from shoulders on down to toes of his son. And he's clothing even his dirty, disgusting feet in dignity. And notice it's borrowed dignity, it's given dignity, it's granted dignity. It's dignity that is the gift from a father to a son. And the father celebrates. And he says, my son was dead, but now he's come back to life. My son was lost, but now my son is found. And the father even sacrifices because he gives us something that's very valuable to him. Not only his clothing, not only does he humble himself in an incredible way, by running. Middle Eastern men back in those days did not run, not in public. And so the father is debasing himself. He's humbling himself, even humiliating himself. And he begins to celebrate and he sacrifices the fattened calf, which he had been saving. Now, this is why we call it, the next part is why we call it the parable of the lost sons. Look at the older son. Verse 25 says this. Now the older son was in the field, and as he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants, questioning what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told him, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and didn't want to go in. It's so interesting how everybody reacts differently to the news in this story. Look at the son's reaction to his state. Look at the father's reaction to his return. And look at the older son's reaction to the party, to the celebration. So the father came out and pleaded with him, that is with the older son. But he replied to his father, look, I have been slaving away many years for you, and I have never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him? Son, he said to him, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found. So you see, the older son shows that he believed he deserved the father's wealth and blessings because of the way he had worked for his father. He had slaved for his father. In other words, Dad, I've earned this. Put our Bible aside there. Now, what the dad tells him is, son, everything that I have is yours, not because you worked so hard for it, not because you've earned it, but because you're my son. This is your birthright. You're my son. The inheritance is yours. You didn't have to work for it, but it's yours because you're my son. So what is the meaning of this story? And how does all this relate to the gospel, which is the central message of Christianity? Here's how. The Father stands for God. And the two sons, that stands for you and me. See, some of us take God's blessings and we take them for granted and we turn our back on God and we say, thanks, God. I'll take it from here. I don't need you. I'm going to run from you. I'm going to run to the things that will bring me pleasure, at least that I think will bring me pleasure. I'm going to chase temporary pleasure and I have no need for you or your fatherhood or your goodwill or really any more blessings. I'll just take what you've already given me and I'll go. And where does that lifestyle lead us? Well, it leads us exactly where the prodigal son, where the lost son found himself. Exactly in the very place we don't want to be. Sin ends up getting mastery over our life. The Bible says that whoever sins is a slave of sin. The Apostle Paul says that if you present your members to anyone as a servant, you are their slave and they have mastery over you. And so sin is a cruel master, but that is exactly what happens to us when we take God's blessings and run and pursue pleasure. Now, here's the thing. You might say, well, I haven't taken God's blessings. I'm not a religious person. I'm not really much of a spiritual person at all. Or maybe I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. My friends, here's the thing. God is the creator of everything. So anything that you use for good or for bad, you're using God's blessings. Those belong to God. There is nothing in this world that you create from scratch. Only God creates ex nihilo. In other words, only God creates from nothing. So you don't have anything that hasn't been given to you. The Bible says, what do you have that has not been given to you? And if it's been given to you, why do you act as though it was not given to you, as though you earned it? So some of us are like that first son. But some of us are like the second son, the older son. The older son who is very devout, is slavishly religious. And some of us think that God owes us his blessings, his wealth, his benefits, because quite frankly, we've been very good. We've worked hard. We've kept the commandments. We've kept, if you're Muslim, you've kept halal. Maybe you've even made a pilgrimage. You give zakat. In other words, you give to the poor. You celebrate Ramadan and Eid. And basically you think of yourself as a pretty good person. And you know, it's not just Muslims. I'm not just picking on Muslims. I spoke to a Roman Catholic man about a week or two ago, and he was actually in my house. He was doing some work on my house. Really nice guy, solid family man. But you know what he said? He said that he believed that if he were to stand before God, he has enough good works to actually buy his way into heaven. That's what he said. He thinks he could buy his way into heaven. So he's like the older son. You know, he's very moralistic. He's very moral. He is a very devout Roman Catholic. So whether you're Muslim, whether you're Roman Catholic, you could be Mormon, Jehovah's Witness. You could even call yourself an evangelical Christian. But if you think that you have earned God's favor and God's best blessings and benefits because of your good deeds and your good lifestyle, you are just like that older son. You have a complete misconception of who God is and how you earn his blessings. Because the Bible says that by works of the law shall no man be justified. In other words, you're not going to be declared righteous before God because of your good works. In the epistle of James, which is in the Bible, it says that whoever is guilty of breaking just one commandment is guilty of breaking them all. Now you might say, well, I'm not Jewish. I'm not under the law of Moses or the Torah or the Taurat. Well, that's fine. But in Romans chapter 2, it says, everyone, all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law, and all who have sinned apart from the law, without the law, will perish without the law. So you see, we are all under sin. And sin, whether we are living for pleasure or whether we're living for legalistic religion, sin is sin. Pride is pride. Pleasure is pleasure. Now, pleasure is a good thing. Pleasure is a gift from God. But trying to pursue pleasure apart from God, that's where you run into problems. There is no such thing as lasting joy apart from God. And if you've been pursuing that, what you're saying is, I'm God, I'll do things my own way. And essentially, both sons were guilty of pride. And their pride brought shame on their father and ultimately led to their own shame. Now, so we've seen who God is, we've seen who we are. How does the gospel factor into all this? Because the gospel is the story of God humbling himself to receive us back at great sacrifice to himself. Well, don't we see that in the story? Don't we see the Father humbling himself first by running out to his son? Again, that was an undignified thing for a man of his stature in that day and age, in that culture, to do. So he humbles himself. This is exactly what God does when he sends Jesus to die on the cross, to humble himself even to the point of a servant, even to the point of dying on a cross, the Bible says. That is God himself humbling himself for us. Do you know that the Bible teaches that Jesus is not only fully man, but also fully God? So God humbles himself by becoming one of us, by running out to meet us, so to speak, and dying for our sins. Now, this is also connotated, this is also symbolized when the father slaughters the fattened calf that he'd been saving, something that was precious to him. So you've got a sacrifice, you've got a celebration. Well, how does the celebration factor in? When we turn from our sin, like the lost son, and we return to the Lord, he runs out to meet us and receive us, and he celebrates. The Bible says there is great rejoicing over one sinner who comes to repentance in heaven. There is great rejoicing in heaven among the angels in heaven. So, the parable of the lost son, really the lost sons or the prodigal son, teaches the gospel in a way that conveys shame, dishonor, and the humility of God himself. So because of the way that this story conveys the gospel in a way that speaks to all these things, this is a perfect, maybe the perfect story to use to share the gospel with Muslim people in your life. I didn't see that at first when it was recommended to me, but now as I've studied it, as I've really taken a deep dive into the theology underlying it, I see the absolute brilliance and the genius of this story as Jesus told it in and the way that it still speaks to us today. And so anyway, I highly recommend using the story of the prodigal son or the lost sons in your evangelism to Muslims. So that is the story. That's the story time. I hope you've enjoyed it. And look, this is not goodbye. This is just a little stop along the way on your spiritual journey. And over the next week, I hope that you have the opportunity to put what you just heard into practice. Maybe that's going to be evangelizing, sharing the good news with a Muslim person. Maybe you are a Muslim person and you're listening to this and you're realizing, man, maybe there's more to Jesus than I originally had realized. Well, if you want to get in touch, shoot me an email at thethink.institute@gmail.com. You can always connect via our website, thethink.institute. And if you want to follow us on social media, we're on Twitter at thinkinst. We're on Instagram and Facebook at thethinkinstitute. And that's all I have for you today. Until next time, I hope it made you think.